My dear friends, today I would like to give you the sermon of last Sunday that I preached back in my parish. That might seem cheating. Father, you didn't want to make a new sermon. That's not the case. This gospel would be great for a sermon. But I want to repeat this sermon because, as I said there, I honestly think it is the most important sermon I can give. That's how much I think of this topic. And it fits this gospel as well today. The sermon I want to give you is about prayer. And well, if you see the gospel today and the fight against the devil, you see at the end that they speak of the praise of our Blessed Mother. All these things feed, obviously, with the fact of doing prayer well. Now, the men of the retreat, I'm sorry, I'm going to harp on it again. You're going to hear it again. But it's always good to have some repetition. Let me then go back to the last Sunday. You remember in the last Sunday, the apostles in the Transfiguration said to our Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And in the epistle, the Apostle St. Paul said, this is the will of God, your sanctification. You'll see as I go through the sermon that this really fits also today's gospel. But consider these words of the apostles. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Here is the amazing part of it. They had been with our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnated Word, for 3 years. 3 years. They had seen him heal the blind, heal the deaf, raise up the dead. 3 years, they never said, it is good for us to be here. Until then. You know why they never said that? They never said it because they didn't think it. They didn't appreciate our Lord at that time, at least. They didn't appreciate him as they should. You know why? Because they had an incomplete vision of Christ. They saw only part of him and not the other. They saw him as a man. They didn't see him as God, or not as much as they should, at least. So it is then when the apostles see our Lord Jesus Christ in their full picture, in his full picture, as man and God transfigurated, that's when they say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Why do I say that? Because one fears that many among Catholics, especially many among our youth, are in the same position. Many of them have been years, many of us, have been years and years receiving the true Mass, receiving the true sacraments, receiving the true doctrine, filled with blessings from the morning till the night. And we've never said it is good for us to be here. Rather, the opposite. Many of our children, our teenagers, sometimes says, Mom, it's not good for me to go to Mass. It's not good for me to be here. But what is the answer? Why does that happen? Is the same answer that when the apostles. We don't have the full picture. We don't see the full picture. We see only partially our Lord Jesus Christ. We see only partially our blessings. And what is the solution to that? How do I get to know properly the Catholic Church? How do I get to know our Lord Jesus Christ so that I also enjoy that vision? And well, the answer to that, my dear friends, is the answer that it is with any human being. What happens if there is a young man in here and he wants to date a girl or get to know her? Or you're going to know a friend. What do? You spend time with them and you listen to them. Those two things. If you don't spend time with them and if you don't listen, you'll never grow in that relationship. You'll never get to know them. It's the exact same thing with God. If I want to know God and get the full picture, I need to spend time with him and I need to listen to him. All that to get to the core of the sermon, the main part of the sermon, which is this, and this is the topic you could say, is that we don't know how to pray well. A bit of a rash judgment from Father up here. I exclude the sisters and the religious. Of course, they know how to pray well. But the truth is, and I'm really going to be bold in this one, I would guess, it's a guess, and again, a rash guess, that if one were to question Catholics, 80%, 90% don't know how to pray well. Or at least they don't know how to pray as well as they could or should. And this is a very concerning topic for a priest. It's a very concerning thing to witness, to see. When you go and talk to someone And you say, what do you think about God? What do you think about our Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think about heaven? And they give you this distorted idea of God as a judge or as a master or as someone that is always demanding things of me or someone that makes me suffer. Why do you have this distorted idea? Well, perhaps you've never prayed well. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you never pray. I'm not saying that you haven't prayed and it's good for you. I'm sure you pray and I'm sure it's good for you. But let me give you an example. Imagine that I go and talk to someone. I think the ocean is fairly close from here, is it? A few hours. Imagine that I go and talk to someone and I say, have you swum in the ocean? Oh yeah, yes I have. So what do you do? Yeah, I went to the shore and I wet my feet in there. Is that all you did? Yeah. I've swum in the ocean. That's not swimming in the ocean. Not nearly at all. There is all this vastness in there that you could have, that you could see, where you could swim, and you just wet your feet. I would say that's what happens with our prayer. Have you prayed? Yes, but maybe, just maybe, you're just wetting your feet in all this vastness that there is in there that you could have. I'll give you an example, and I hope this person is actually not here. One time we were praying with the border boys. I shouldn't have said that part. We were praying with a bunch of boys, and this is all grown-ups. And then we're praying the rosary, and I hear, it wasn't me actually, it was one of the other priests that told me the story, but he hears there's a dissonance. Someone is saying wrong words. And so he stops everyone, and he says, okay, you, say the Hail Mary. And he says the Hail Mary, and then he goes to the second part. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now is the hour of our death. Amen. It's like, no, it's not. We hope not. So it was funny, but here is a concerning part about that, and that's a concerning part as a priest. Did it never dawn on you that you're not dying every time that you say the Hail Mary? Did it never dawn on you that the words that you're saying make no sense? You're saying now is the hour of our death. Does that make sense? No. How long have you been praying the Hail Mary? 18 years. Did you ever pay attention to the words that you say? Or was it that you were just repeating these words for 18 years in such a distracted state that you never thought you're saying nonsense? And this is the part that is very concerning for us, my dear friends. Our children, we teach them and ourselves. We teach ourselves and the children all the practices that is very good. We need to learn these things, how to go to confession, how to go to communion, stay silent during Mass, kneel at this time, stand at this time. Have I ever gone with my child and say, this is how you pray. This is how you pray from your heart. Let's go over to this room. I believe in God the Father Almighty. What does that mean? Do you understand that? What is the communion of saints? Do you understand that? I'll explain it to you. Just one-on-one, take your child, your boy, your daughter, and go to that room and say, okay, we're going to pray the Our Father, but we're going to say it carefully, devoutly. Try to think of every word that you're saying. Our Father who art in heaven. What does that mean, Johnny, Peter, Paul? What does that mean? Who are you talking to? Well, I'm talking to God. What are you saying to him? I'm calling him Father. Isn't that beautiful? You can call God Father. I'm your Father, right? Yes, God is your Father even more. Have we ever once done that with one of our children, with one of my siblings, just even myself? You see, this is the practice that is the most important, and this is the one that we let slip through the cracks. St. Alphonsus Liguori wrote a whole book called One Thing Alone is Necessary, and that was his point, that we all need to know how to pray, and yet this is the practice that we neglect, how to pray well. St. Alphonsus Liguori bases this story on that story of the gospel that I'm sure all you know well. We make reference to it often during the retreat of for ladies, the story of Martha and Mary, right? Our Lord is there, Martha is working around doing all these things, you know, taking care of the dishes, cooking, cleaning, and as any person in that state would do, she sees Mary sitting there with our Lord, and she says, Lord, won't you have my sister help me? And, well, I won't say further than that, but if it was me, probably I would be thinking, she always does that. But our Lord says to her, Martha, Martha, you trouble yourself with many things, yet only one is necessary. To be clear, our Lord was not saying that work is bad. He was not saying that her chores, her deeds were bad. What he was saying is, this is the core of it. This is the main part of it. And then the other part is what follows. Martha, you should be listening to me, focusing on me, paying attention in me, and then doing all that stuff that you do because of me, out of love for me, not just because it's your chores. That's what our Lord was saying. One might say, Father, this sermon is going to be long, by the way, a bit. Father, is it not enough for me to learn my prayers, to say it vocally, to say the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Apostles' Creed? I know the words. Is that not enough? Saint Teresa would say, no, it's not enough. Because how can you say that prayer well if you don't know the meaning of heaven, what it is, if you've never thought of it? How can you say full of grace if you've never thought of what grace is? How can you pray the rosary well if you never even thought of the scourging or the crowning of thorns and spend at least 15 minutes just meditating on that? How can you pray truthfully if you don't know those things? You really can't. You pray well, but you're wetting your feet at the shore of the ocean. My point then, my dear friends, is that we cannot afford this. We cannot afford to be ignorant of how to pray well. Let me give you another example. Imagine that I come here and I meet some guy that is 25 years old, or you meet a guy that is 25 years old, and you invite him for dinner, and when he comes to dinner, he doesn't know how to eat. He doesn't know how to eat. He doesn't know how to grab the things. He puts the food and some puts in his ears and tries to put it through his nose or whatever. No, 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 you put it through your mouth. That's what you do. He doesn't know how to chew it. He tries to eat it to get... It would be crazy, right? Crazy. And what would you think of those parents? You would say, well, these parents are evil people. That would be bad if I don't teach my child how to eat food for his body. But do we teach them how to eat food for their soul? Do our 25-year-olds, our 30-year-olds, do they know how to eat food for their souls? Do they know how to pray? You see, then, this is a very important issue, a very concerning issue. So, we cannot afford that. We must learn how to pray. Now, the second part of the sermon, very short. This, my dear friends, the men from the retreat, is where I repeat myself. What do I mean by pray well? Father, what are you talking about? What should I do? How do I learn to do this? Well, first, you need to learn on your own, the adults, and then you need to teach your children. Let's go over the adults. At one point, go and close yourself in your room, close the door, as our Lord said, shut the door in your chambers, by yourself alone. And then do what they call remote preparation and proximate preparation, meaning remove all distractions from your mind. This will not work. This is the remote preparation. This will not work if I was just listening to a political podcast, if I was just watching a YouTube channel, playing Minecraft, or watching, scrolling through my phone, and then I pretend to pray. That's not going to work. So you do the remote preparation. Remove distractions from your mind a little bit, long before. And then, when it's the time, you go to your room, you shut the door, you kneel down. And then here is the part, pay attention to this one, I'm sure you're all. Here is the part that we always fail in most of the times. Make a deep act of the presence of God. Kneel down, and then at that moment realize, God is listening to me. The most holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the creator of all things, is bent on my words and my thoughts at this moment, paying attention to every single movement of my soul, of me, the little ant, the little bug that I am. God is here saying, here I am, What do you want to say to me? An audience with God. And then you begin praying. I say this is a very important point because, as I was telling the men, how often do you come to Mass on Sundays and not once throughout the Mass have you done that? Again, being rash. But thinking to you just go through the customs and you never, from the beginning, try it. Try it once. Try it in this Mass. Kneel down as soon as you can after the sermon and then close your eyes and think, God is here. I'm talking to God. He's listening to me. And then begin praying. And then your prayer will be, in the words of our teenagers, awesome. You'll be great. But that one factor is the one that we always skip and is the most important one. Now I'm in the presence of God. Now I will pray. For 15, 30 minutes, I'll meditate on the mysteries of the rosary, on this, on that. If you find it difficult to meditate, then just grab a prayer, the Our Father, the Hail, Holy Queen, whatever it is, and go word by word, say it slowly, meaning it to God who is listening to you. If you can meditate, then it's a very easy thing to do. I'm going to think of the crowning of thorns, close my eyes, here I am, here is Jesus Christ in front of me. And I see him. What's going on with him? He's bleeding. What does his face look like? His eyes are black. His face is all torn. His teeth are also probably hurt. Everything is covered with dust. I see some tears falling from his eyes. What would I think if I was him? Where is our Blessed Mother? She's over there. Then I see the soldier. He comes with the reed, whacks him in the head, and I see him falling on the ground, bleeding, spitting blood. Who is he? Who is he? The Son of God. Who am I? A sinner. I'm the one that did that. Why is he doing that? Why is he suffering? Couldn't he help it? Yes. But why is he doing it for me? You see how easy it is to meditate. Just imagine yourself in there and ask yourself questions. And then, at the end of this meditation, you have a little chat. A little chat. First, 5 minutes before the end of my prayer, I'll say, okay, time to talk. And I'll talk to the Virgin Mary first, as the Gospel today would prompt us to do, and then to our Lord, and then to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And I end my prayer, saying to our Lord, my Lord, I've learned many things today. Here is what I want to do in my life now. I want to do this. I want to continue doing that. I'll persevere in this and that. That, my friends, that is serious prayer. Father, that's something that only the sisters, only the priests ought to do. I'm very busy. I'm very busy. I don't have time. Can't you do it? For this prayer, set time specifically from 6:30 to 7, from 6 to 6:30, and don't leave that time. But I don't have time. Let me tell you something. If someone among us calls you today and says, hey, I need to see you this week. I don't have time Wednesday. Well, Thursday, Friday, when? Okay, Friday, what time? 4:00. Won't you be there? Won't you give them that time? Just for the sake of not being rude. I'm very busy in my parish, as you can imagine. Every now and then I'll get a phone call. Father, I want to see you. Okay, 3 months from now. It doesn't matter how busy I am. It doesn't matter. I'll give them time because I don't want to be rude. Why is God the only one not worthy of an appointment with me? Why is God the only one that I leave last in the queue? And while every human being, I will give time to them, and I will make sure that I'm there, and I will not interrupt it. God, I don't give time, and if I give it, I interrupt it all the time. Sorry, God, I get a phone call. Sorry, God, I get a text message. Sorry, God, the Super Bowl's coming up. Why? This is the reason why we're called in our faith. This is the reason why our children are not thrilled to go to Mass or confession or communion. Sometimes I'm saying, this is the reason why we don't experience all the wealth that we have in the church, in our minds. And so once you've learned these things, once you do them yourself, the next step is, as I said at the beginning, you go and take your daughter, your son, your student, and you take them one by one and you say, here, I need to teach you something extremely important. This is how you pray to God. This is how you speak to him from your heart. Listen, you've never known it perhaps, but you actually have an open door to talk to the master of all creation, but you need to learn how. This is how you do it. And when you go to confession, before confession, this is how you should feel. And after confession, this is how you should feel. When you go to communion and you bring your child over here in the church when no one is around and you say, think of these things as you're coming to communion. Kneel down. This is the things that you're going to say to God as you're receiving communion. Say this to him. Say that to him. Do you understand it? Yes. Can you say it? Yes. Okay, after we go to the pew, here is what you say to God. Say this, this, and that. Think of the things that you need. Think of the things that concern you. Say a few words to him. My child, this is how you pray. And then they will truly experience these treasures. I hope you see why I think this is truly the most important sermon I could give. Because this would change our entire lives as Catholics if we do it well. The apostles lived 3 years with our Lord, and they never said, it is good for us to be here. Some of us have lived 40 years in our faith, and we've never said, it is good for us to be here. But not anymore. From this moment, in this Lent, during this Lent, let us make that resolution to learn how to pray, because this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.